All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jocks Killer. Listen to Jocks, and you can always tune in that way. It is 8 a.m. Tuesday, May 24th. Good to be with you. G-Mac back in studio. Kind of recapping, just resetting a lot of Saban Fisher and everything that's been going on and everything that's been happening. Connor O'Gara is going to be with us at 8:20, so 20 minutes from now. And we'll talk. He's got an article up about football player of the year, best football player in college football, but a little bit of a different twist on it. We'll get to that, but also ask him about Coach Saban, Coach Fisher, where he thinks this is headed. We'll also, at 9:20, visit with Chris Burke of the SEC Network and preview the SEC tournament, which will be starting actually while we have Chris on the air. Excuse me. So, a couple of tweets I want to get to before we go back to the phones and we hear the latest from Jimbo Fisher. B. Diddy tweets in. You can always be a part of the show at Mac and Cube. It's brought to you by our friends at Royal
B Buick GMC. Or Puff Daddy?
B.
B. Buff Daddy.
B. Diddy.
Puff Daddy or P. Diddy?
I mean, I grew up with Puffy. Mostly P. Diddy.
Dude, Puff Daddy is the sickest name of all time.
He tweets, do you think A&M is living on borrowed time now that Texas and Oklahoma are set to join the party?
I don't. I think they've separated themselves enough. And honestly, the experience, like the college experience in College Station, is completely different than that of Austin. Like, some guys are going to align with College Station, some guys are going to align with Austin. So no, I don't. I think they've separated themselves. They had to get out of Texas's shadow. They did so by joining the SEC 10 years before the Longhorns will, and I think they're in good shape.
Dr. Necessary Evil, who is our resident Aggies super fan, but we appreciate him listening to the show. He tweets at Mac and Cube, Greg, that's why you aren't an Aggie. Never will understand A&M.
Yeah.
We don't have to drive Lambos or flaunt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your Texas Longhorns do. We pride ourselves on being different.
I brought up the Longhorns.
Always will. Saw them off forever. Hashtag geek 'em.
See, I like talking about A&M living rent-free in other places, people's heads.
What did Manziel do after he scored a touchdown?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Show me the money.
If I'm not mistaken, he did the dollar.
Yep.
But he didn't need to flash.
Nope.
I'm trying to figure out why Dr. Necessary Evil brings up Texas in every tweet when no one's talking about the Longhorns today. Is anyone talking about the Longhorns? I know I'm not.
I hadn't.
He got his feelings hurt on your Instagram post yesterday.
Rent free. Longhorns live rent free in Dr. Evil's head.
Your Instagram post hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the Aggie fan the Aggie helmet is en route. Don't worry.
JD in Huntsville, listening on the Ump, wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, JD.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Have you played Fire Marshal Bill for Greg this morning? anyway, you missed that, Greg. Hey, a couple of things. One, how much money are we actually talking about for these collectives? I've heard a bunch of numbers thrown around, and I've heard you guys mention, like, cars and this and that, but I mean, how much money are we really talking for your run-of-the-mill average collective here? What are we talking? Do you guys know? Have you heard things? What's the number?
I've heard a lot, but
I don't have a reasonable number. Like, I cannot tell you specifically. I know it's a lot.
See, that's the problem. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the
specifics. Except for the people who are in charge of them.
Correct.
But you know, if you read David Ubbin's article in The Athletic about the Tennessee collectives, they said their goal was $8 to $10 million a year.
Okay.
I think there are a few out there that have at their disposal closing in on $10 million. I think your most, and this is bigger programs, you're in between $1 and $3 million that they have kind of ready right now to go.
So what if, like, you know, every freshman that comes on campus and every player from this point on, when they're given their little packet, and I don't know if you guys get a packet, a playbook, or whatever, there's also, like, a set of keys to a Mercedes. Would that make a difference at Alabama?
Well, I think if you offered any kid a Mercedes, it's going to make a difference.
I think it depends on the kid.
Right.
I can tell you what I wanted in college. It was not a Mercedes. I wanted a big old truck. Give me the biggest rims, biggest tires. I want 37-inch tires stock. I want a trampoline that comes out of the side that I have to jump on to get into my truck. And I want to have the biggest toolbox. I don't know why I'm putting it. I just like the way they look. Like, I want a big old toolbox on there. I want dual exhaust. I want you to hear me.
Fast packs.
I want you to hear me in Bessemer when I'm driving down Bryant Drive.
Wow.
When I'm turning right on McFarland, yeah. I want you to hear me in Bessemer. All right?
Bumping that chingy.
One more question about that chingy. You know, we have this thing in the coaching fraternity, like an unwritten rule that we don't air dirty laundry, criticize. But is it the same way in the media? Because I'm hearing like Billy Lucci and some of these guys from A&M, basically saying that Jimbo, there was nothing wrong with what Jimbo said, and I'm thinking, even if you work for them, you've got to say, yeah, he probably could have not said this or that, but you didn't hear any of that from anybody at A&M. Are they that emotionally unhinged by what Saban said? They can't even be objective about what Jimbo said that probably maybe he shouldn't have?
I appreciate the call, JD. I think that I've heard multiple A&M supporters and folks who cover A&M say that Jimbo probably went a little bit too far in that first press conference and how he referenced some things with Coach Saban. But I also think that they believe that this has been boiling for some time and he's been waiting, and so his emotions got the best of him. That's kind of my opinion on it. So I don't know about the just blindly defending everything that he said. I personally haven't seen. We had Billy on the show, and I didn't feel like he took that route. I feel like Billy has been, for the most part, very real about everything taking place. I mean, we had him on after the first one. We've had him on after this one, and he's got a pretty good idea of exactly how things are going. Greg, my theory on this is with Jimbo Fisher, I think a lot of it is acceptance. And the way that I've kind of laid this out, and I'll do it again because you weren't here, is just, you know, this recruiting class club, this VIP, you got the bouncer standing in front of the velvet rope, and Alabama has a number one class. Clink, you come in, your entourage is with you, whatever. Well, Kirby goes over to Athens. Clink, come on in. You're good. You can have that kind of a class. Whether it's Ryan Day, whether it's Dabo, and maybe Dabo caught some of this blowback early on at Clemson when he started racking up big classes. But Hugh Freeze goes and gets that class at Ole Miss, and it's like, no. You're not coming in. Jimbo can walk up and have the biggest wad of cash or the best looking group of girls in his entourage, and it's kind of like, no. You're not coming in the club. No VIP, no bottle service for you. Like, we don't have a table for you, not here. And I think Jimbo feels like, hey, I deserve a seat at that table. Like, I deserve to be in that part of the club. And no one seemingly wants to let him in because they're making excuses for how he arrived there. That to me, it's more acceptance from Jimbo Fisher than anything else. He feels like his guys have put in the work. He's put in the time. You mentioned it earlier. He's got the resume. So why are some coaches just blindly accepted and other coaches, people are going to put up a fight as to why they belong or deserve to be where they are?
Are they blindly accepted, though? Like, I don't know if anyone's blindly accepted. Like, I think it takes years and years and years of consistent performance to finally get over the hump. I think some coaches like Lincoln Riley get held in really high regard because they've put together consistent performance. Jimbo's teams, with all due respect, have not been consistent. His times at Florida State, his times at Texas A&M, he's had great years, he's had awful years. Even in great years, he had inconsistencies. That would be 2014. Go see the Seminoles that year. Undefeated throughout the regular season, but my goodness, it was like pulling teeth. So I don't, and Jimbo, by the way, I don't know a single person or a single credible individual that wouldn't have Jimbo as, at worst, a top 10 coach in college football. I think most would probably have him as a top 5 coach in college football. I know I feel that way about him.
Yeah.
I think he's the real deal. I think he's awesome. So I have no issues, but I think that's his own. That's coming from inside. Like, I'm sure that there's probably something about how he left Florida State that, like, internally, subconsciously, maybe has an effect on him still. I don't know how he's viewed, how he's perceived, what his legacy might be, etc. I don't know. I really don't know what that is. But there's, he is accepted. Like, he's on the inside. Like, he's universally considered one of the better coaches in America. So I don't agree with, you know, the whole, yeah, he just wants to be accepted type of deal, and he does it differently than everybody else. I don't know if I agree with that completely.
Not just wanting to be, but feels like he deserves it, and some people kind of don't allow it. That was sort of where I was heading with that. Bill,
is that more Jimbo or A&M though?
Because
Because I think if this were Texas making moves like this, people would not feel as weirdly
about it. Wouldn't have a problem with it. No, it's just like when Orgeron put together a class at LSU that was great. Nobody second-guessed it. Come on in. Ka-clink, you're in the club. You're good. Because it's LSU and it's easy to recruit and you got talent right there and
right.
whatnot. So they allow that. So correct. I do agree with some of the brands and some of the schools have a lot to do, not so much exactly who the coach is.
Sure.
Bill's in Clanton wants to chime in the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Bill.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I heard this on another radio show in yesterday, a local call-in show. A guy that is apparently an attorney, and he said that I'm an Auburn fan, but he said Damian Craig come to this school, and it was Damian Craig, the head coach of the school, the assistant coach, and this guy. And he said that Damian Craig told them that they had $35 million in their collective, and that's why they had the number one recruiting class. That's what he said. Now, I love Damian Craig, don't get me wrong, and I don't think Damian did anything wrong in that, if that was what happened, but that's what this guy said yesterday.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the call, Bill. And again, we weren't there. I don't know. I haven't had that conversation with DC. So,
I haven't balanced the checkbook.
I don't know. I mean, it's the back and forth on is there a collective or not a collective to me is just flat out silly. I mean, I don't need to have that conversation. I don't need to have the if. And neither does Greg because
I know people that have written checks for it.
I've had conversations with those that no. So I don't know how else to say that. Like, I know that it's there.
The collective exists. And
there's nothing wrong with it.
Now,
it's not illegal. There's no...
But we don't know how much is in it.
No. And I've heard 35 is inflated.
I've heard rampant speculation.
That's a big number.
I've heard 20. I've heard 25. I've heard 10. Like, I've heard rampant speculation of all over the place.
8 to 10 is where I feel confident saying I think it is. Think. And I don't know that. I don't know. None of us know. And that's what's hard about this is because none of this is reported.
Right.
And half the NIL stuff happening is not even reported to compliance.
Yeah, which is why the compliance wouldn't have any idea what's going on with who's got NIL deals and who doesn't. Don't have to.
Which brings us to yesterday, KSAT-12 in San Antonio. Greg Simmons, old Greg. Greg!
Old Greg.
Greg!
I'm
sat
old,
down
I'm old Greg.
With
I'm old
Jimbo
Greg.
Fisher. As he was entering the San Antonio, Texas A&M club for a one-on-one interview.
And name, image, and likeness, I keep saying this about recruiting, and I just researched this. Of the 11 guys we have in placing that came early, one guy has an NIL deal.
Really?
Yes.
Just one?
Just one. So all these stories you're hearing are complete lies.
Well, now,
because
what happened over the last 48 hours?
Nothing, and it never happened before. Because it was written on social media and it started with the Bro Bible Slice Bread deal.
Right.
So everybody believed it. Nick, all the people obviously believed it. I went and checked with our compliance people because we have nothing to do with it. One guy.
Of the 11?
Yes.
The early enrollees.
Yeah. Of the early enrollees.
Gotcha. So that said, what is all this dust up about then?
Great point.
I've just got to ask you, were you shocked that this came up? Because you just told me you only had one.
I said that about a while ago. It's like, that's why I made the original one back in February when they said we had $35 million in a thing. That's all false. It's all, it was written on social media, so everybody believes it. And you got news channels believing it. Hey, big people believing it. And you believed it.
Well, and Nick Saban believed it, obviously.
Well, he's not news. You're news. You're media. You guys not research?
But
I'm asking you, did you do your research?
No.
See, you can't answer. So you just assumed. And that's the way this world goes now. As soon as it's written on social media and someone says it, you believe it. So where does that put you as guys as reporters?
Where does that put coaches like Nick Saban, who know better, if that's the case?
Where does that put reporters at?
So you're defending Nick Saban?
No, I'm just crazy. I'm asking you guys to put it out in the media. Just hold on. I ain't getting into this.
I understand, but I just wanted.
You're into
is
it.
This change?
It's because social media and media put it out. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You believed it. You just asked me.
Sure. Does that change anything?
What's it change? Nothing's just changed in the beginning.
Truth.
What's the truth? Nobody wants the truth. You want a story and a click and a hit. Think. What's the next question? See, I threw you off your game right now.
Well, no. You're off your game. You're out of question.
Not, definitely not out of question.
Yeah.
So how does that change
anything. Because I know the truth, and I've always known the truth. That's why.
Then why would he make that accusation?
Have to ask him.
Again.
Just let me handle it.
Okay. Why would he make that accusation, though? If it's
why did you make that accusation?
I didn't make any accusations.
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Has he apologized to you at all?
No, we haven't talked.
And would you accept his public apology?
I said we're not talking.
But he publicly apologized. Do you accept that?
I didn't read it. I don't read social media.
We said it on Sirius XM, but whatever.
That's, I didn't. I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to that.
Gotcha. Do you think this is of what happened over the last 48 hours? Do you think this is a somewhat of a snapshot of a bigger picture problem?
I have no idea.
When it comes to the NIL?
I have no idea. NIL wasn't a problem.
Why are the Aggies so good at this? In other words,
we're not.
Oh, really? You don't think you guys are more organized and more
no
than any other university?
Mm-mm.
You don't think that would not have been somewhat of a motivation of why he did what he did?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Gotcha. Is there anything you'd like to add to the last 48 hours that have happened here?
Yeah, there was one deal.
That's one deal. That was it. And those are all.
And I checked on that. And I checked on that from our compliance. That's where it goes.
And that's all 11 of the early signees.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
That's with Greg Simmons, sports anchor, director at KSAT-12 in San Antonio. A lot to unpack there from Jimbo Fisher, GMAC. But I'll say this. I give Jimbo credit for not completely just unloading on Nick Saban there when he probably could have and a lot of people would have. Turned it back around on the media. Greg Simmons tried to put that back in the lap of Saban, and Jimbo was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going there. You're in the media. Have you done your research? Now, here's the hard part. Have you done your research? What can we research? If we call compliance right now at any school in the country and asked, hey, we'd like an update on your NIL deals, are they going to tell us? No. We don't even know how to research this. He just said he had to go research it to find out that there was only one player of the 11 early enrollees that had an NIL deal. So how's the media supposed to know? Go ask every kid, and every kid's not going to talk about it.
Well, they might.
Some will, but yeah, not everyone.
We can probably ask the kids. That might be our best source.
Yeah.
In 11 players, only one has an NIL deal in place. Those are the early enrollees. There's 30 in the class.
Mm.
How does Greg Simmons not follow up with that? How do you not follow up with that? Because I thought that you defending Nick Saban, that was an entertaining question. It wasn't a good question. It was entertaining. And the why are the Aggies so good at this? I thought that was a good question. But you've got to follow up with one of the 11 has it. And what about the other? What about the other 19? I mean, that's easy. How do you have to ask that?
Yeah, they want to be fighting Texas Aggies. That's it. That's the only explanation.
I mean, you realize how little how little information is out there available to. Like, you can talk about compliance, all this stuff. Dude, there's no compliance. Like, what's comply? What are you complying with?
Not the NCAA.
Compliance is there to make sure that you don't break rules. You didn't break rules. We know that.
Nope.
Like, what rule did you break? There's no rule. Everything that you did was totally and completely legal. And the compliance, they're not going to be made completely aware. Like, all you did was kick the can down the road. We didn't really address anything there.
I'm going to ask why. And you hear Alan Cannon is trying to help in the background. And I'm not sure who gets shut down when she tries to offer Jimbo a little bit of help. And he says he's going to handle it.
Just let me handle it.
It's kind of aggressive.
I feel like everything has been handled kind of poorly. Run and hide. Like nothing right now is benefiting you. Like, none of this is going to end up. I mean, it helps us.
It's great for us.
Guess what? Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
Nope.
This is great. Y'all want to call in? 800-239-9569. We'll talk about it.
Terry in Birmingham has called in. Welcome in, Terry.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I just, this one, this audio you guys just played on Jimbo in that interview, that's a lot to unpack. And I just got questions behind it. So I know he states that one of his freshmen only got the NIL deal in this past class, but that just doesn't seem correct. It doesn't seem correct. It just feels like I don't think he did full research to find out who actually got an NIL deal or not. And it just feels like I just thrown out number more than anything. And then also, I found out I did some research yesterday. Somebody told me about Texas state law. In the bylaw states that a incoming, well, as far as before they get on campus and get on at school, that in Texas state law that you can get an NIL deal as far as a prospecting student athlete. So it's just a lot to unpack, and I'm just trying to figure out. He really didn't do himself any favors as far as the interview to me. It doesn't sound like.
Oh, that's fair. Appreciate the culture.
I think I agree so much with what you said at the end. I don't think Jimbo did himself any favors with this. Like the interview, he came across as tiniest bit unhinged. Like, it's like, dude, just like, we're good. Didn't do anything wrong. Guys came. Some came for different reasons. Some came for playing time. Some came because they had an NIL deal. But guess what? They all came. And guess what? We're going to see what they do from this point forward. I mean, he needs to go find his happy place. I'll tell you where my happy place is. It's in my backyard. Thanks to my friends at Wayne's Pest Control. They have the smart pest solution too, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, I get anxious. I mean, I see moles and chipmunks and all these other, animals, varmints running around my house. I worry about rats, all this stuff. I mean, that stuff stresses me out big time, especially the summer months. If I was a rat, I'd be trying to get in. Keep the house at 70 degrees, I'd be trying to get in the crib. I would, 100%. That's why I got to rely on my friends at Wayne's Pest Control. They do an amazing job taking care of my family. I'm so grateful to them. And they've made life so much easier. They've literally created a better mousetrap. That's right. It's a proprietary technology that can figure out snakes and rodents and all this stuff. They know about it before you know about it because it sends a signal back to the headquarters at Wayne's. My house is my happy place, and I trust Wayne's. And Wayne's alone to protect it. Give them a shout, 866-WAYNES-1. Sign up for a year. You get $60 off the smart pest if you sign up for a year by using offer code JOCKS. 866-WAYNES-1. Let Wayne's create your happy place. Visit callwaynes.com.
We got to get to a break. Connor O'Gara going to join us on the other side from Saturday Down South, but I'll leave you with this. I have said it once. I have said it twice. I have said it a million times. Very few coaches have taken me up on it, even as an idea. You coach. Every head coach needs one. Back with more right after this. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. A lot of problems with some things that we've heard, a lot of issues. Information continues to leak out about collectives. If it's a water leak repair that you have an issue with, not an information leak, well, Benjamin Franklin, the Punctual Plumber, is who you need to call. Because if there's any delay, it's you that they pay. They service residential and commercial projects, no job too big or small, 24 hours a day when you call 205-982-7775. Real person going to answer the phone.
Ask them about the Benjamin Franklin Club, too, when you give them a shout. It's $8 a month. That's $96 for the year. They're going to come out. They're going to perform an annual service check on your water heater. They're going to check everything out every year. Once a year, they're going to come out and take care of all that. Plus, in addition to that, you get 15% off any repair or diagnostic fee. That's why Benjamin Franklin is the only plumber that we would trust. They are the Punctual Plumber. They're going to arrive on time, and you can trust them. Check them out at BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com.
All right, Connor O'Gara with Saturday Down South joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline at CJ O'Gara. You can follow him on Twitter. He's done an excellent job over the years just sort of helping rebuild Saturday Down South and his own brand. Connor, appreciate you being with us. We had an article that you had up to talk about. We're going to get to that in a few moments since we've been spending a lot of time on A&M, Alabama, Saban, Jimbo. I want your reaction to what you heard yesterday from Jimbo as he sat down with Greg Simmons of KSAT-12 in San Antonio and met the media again.
It's interesting hearing Jimbo continue to double down, because I think anybody who watched that press conference that he had roughly, 12, 13 hours after Nick Saban's comments sort of hit the rounds nationally, I think that we saw Jimbo's response, and he looked, real heated, and he has not really backed off of that stance. And I think that we're seeing him continue to defend his recruiting class. And even though he said in his very heated response initially that he doesn't necessarily know all the inner workings of A&M's collective, he just knows that what's being done is being done above board. I think seeing Jimbo continue to go to bat for his program is why A&M fans are kind of in his corner right now. And there are a lot of people who are realizing that Jimbo is not afraid of anyone, and that includes Nick Saban.
Well, I don't think anyone disagrees that he's not afraid of anybody, doesn't necessarily care. It appears as though he doesn't really care what anyone else thinks, which is totally fine. I just, at some point, the truth is going to come out. And based on everything that I've heard, Connor, and everything that Cole's heard, and these are talking to people that are closely associated with Texas A&M, boosters that have contributed to a collective, it appears as though everything that he's denying actually happened. So that's what I'm having a hard time. Like, what have you heard about their collective and their recruiting efforts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty well known that A&M is definitely using NIL to be able to entice recruits. Now, where Jimbo can kind of sort of wiggle around this is what is NIL and what's pay-for-play, right? If there are sort of discrepancies about those issues, and if it's not considered pay for play to have essentially a contract, which we've seen those floated out there. I know Matt Moscona had the one contract that he got a hold of and said, look, this is somebody who's going to A&M who wanted to go to LSU, but you know what? He's going to the highest bidder. Like there can be those things that are thrown out there, but at the same time, it's like, all right, well then who's going to enforce it? Does it really matter? It's still taboo to talk about it this way. It is weird to see Jimbo continue to say NIL has had nothing to do with recruiting this historic class. It's like, but why can't we admit that? Yeah, it had something to do with it. Why can't Nick Saban admit that NIL probably had something to do with signing his class? And all of these coaches who have been trained for decades to say that their recruiting methods have been able to get them to this point now are having to kind of pivot and be like, oh, well, hey, maybe NIL is actually enticing these kids. Jimbo's kind of the poster child for a coach not being willing to admit that it's had something to do with his class. But I'll be interested to see if we do find out more clarity about all of these deals and whatnot, because I guess if there's nobody enforcing them, and Saban himself said, look, if it's not illegal, then really what's to stop him from continuing to do this?
Connor O'Gara of Saturday Down South joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Greg had an interesting thought earlier. He said, why not just lean into it? Why not just go full bore into, hey, we've got more, we can offer more, we can do more. It's not illegal, so we're just going to ride with it. What would your strategy be moving forward if you were Jimbo Fisher?
I think I would float the breadcrumbs out there. I think I would continue to say that. I would not be as against it as he is. You know, that's the strange thing. It's like, you know, if Jimbo had come out and said, yeah, you know what, we're gonna take care of our guys. We're going to maximize NIL opportunities, and I don't really care if a kid is coming to us for NIL opportunities. We're going to make sure that we do whatever we can to take care of him and make sure that we set him up for the next level and to do all these things and have a championship program. Like, yeah, I would definitely float it out there that I'm using NIL, and Saban is too. I mean, like, Saban is not saying this stat about Bryce Young unless he wants it out there that Alabama's a good place for NIL. Saban isn't speaking in front of business owners in Birmingham and talking about the need to have them involved in NIL if he doesn't want his program to benefit from NIL. I think that's probably a good way to go about it. I think Jimbo Fisher behind closed doors is clearly advocating for it, whether he admits it or not, but I'd be a little bit more vocal about it. I still probably wouldn't let somebody say that I just bought all my players, because that kind of implies that the only reason that a player is going to your specific program is because you outbid everybody else to be able to get them. So I get it from that standpoint, but you're right. There's got to be some sort of a happy medium here.
Well, we also want to talk a little ball with you. You just put out an article basically documenting some of the best players in college football, and it feels like we're moving in a direction where you have guys like Debo Samuel is in the NFL that are just all around well-rounded football players. You documented a few of those. So what kind of led you to going down that rabbit hole of trying to find well-roundedness and versatile guys that can beat you in a lot of different ways?
I want to preface this by saying I think the Paul Hornung Award does a fantastic job of being able to highlight versatility in college football. So I don't want to necessarily take any sort of, I don't want to necessarily take any shots at them and what they do and the voters and whatnot. But let's consider this idea that Keaton Thompson last year, rocking number 99 for Virginia, wasn't even a finalist for that award. If he's not a finalist for that award, what are we really doing here? Devontae Smith, unbelievable player, all-time great college receiver. Is he really the most versatile player in college football to win that award? Saquon Barkley, tremendous pass-catching back. I mean, he was involved in special teams. Is he really worthy of winning like the Paul Hornung Award as the most versatile player in college football? We're now transitioning into an era in which I think coaches are realizing that they have guys on both sides of the ball that can just kind of do everything. Just line them up and watch them go. Ketan Thompson is kind of the epitome of that, and why this FBP of the year, football player of the year that I just kind of created on a random day in May, I think needs to exist, because we need to highlight this versatility of a guy that can go out there and throw a pass, catch a pass, operate as a tailback, and do anything in between. I mean, he can run block for you as well. Like, he can line up at tight end. It just doesn't matter. He's a football player. Throw him out there. List him as FBP. I even floated out the idea to Shane Beamer to list DK Joyner and Jaheim Bell as FBPs moving forward. Just don't worry about what they are on the depth chart. Just football player. Get him touches by any means necessary. Malik Hornsby, another one of these guys this year. His role in Kendall Briles' offense at Arkansas, he could be doing a variety of different things. And I think we need to highlight this. I think we are now transitioning into this era in which we're seeing more of these guys that are really throwbacks. And so that'd be a way to kind of highlight some of this versatility in a way that the Paul Hornung Award currently isn't, in my opinion.
No, I think when you look at kind of like what Lynn Bowden did at South Carolina a couple of years ago, at Kentucky a couple of years ago, you know, he would be a guy that sort of fits into that category, could just line up as a tailback, line up in the slot, then ended up playing quarterback to finish up the season. I think it's a cool idea, and I love there's the football player adage, just because I think sometimes we get away from that. We want to specify what one guy is so good at, and that's probably going back to youth sports now. We just, you know, my kid is the second baseman on our travel team, like, and he bats second. Like, he's not going to play shortstop. He's not going to play right field. Like, he's a second baseman, and he's 8. It's like, no. Like, he might grow out of that and have to play DH. Like, he might be a first baseman. Who knows? But I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you with your list, because you gave us some great ones. And, we have you on just to have, you know, fair debates and discussions, but we're not going to get emotional here and get out of whack. Ketan, I love. I think he's fun to watch. It's so cool to, I think, his story, especially since he's sort of reinvented himself after playing. I mean, that's a kid that played quarterback at Mississippi State and beat Lamar Jackson in a bowl game. People forget that. But I think you throw out DK Joyner, he would not even be the number one candidate on his team, in my opinion. And I think maybe after Ketan Thompson, Jaheim Bell might be next in line for me that would fit this category. A guy that's played H, tight end, he's split up wide receiver, he's taken direct snaps, he's played tailback. I think he is sort of the prototype for what this could be. And I've said that a guy like Robbie Ashford at Auburn could have a role on that team this year, not just playing quarterback, but maybe a Jaheim Bell-ish type role for the Tigers this fall to help that offense some. But I got to know why Bell not included in your list.
He's in the story, and I include him with the DK Joyner reference. He absolutely could have been. I floated out the idea to Shane Beamer. I tried to focus on just one specific player per team. And I think Joyner being able to actually pass in the way that, I mean, the guy can, he was 9 of 9 throwing passes in the Mayo Bowl. This is somebody who has had his role just thrown around all over the place. Jaheim Bell is a great candidate for that. And I guess, you know, he's kind of this modern mold of a tight end. These guys who will line up in line, they'll line up in the slot, they'll occasionally line up in the backfield as well. You can line them up out wide, and they do a lot of different things. If Jaheim Bell, if he started throwing passes, he would absolutely be a guy that would be a no-doubter, and he's probably going to make his way onto the watch list. Let's be clear here. Just the watch list that we're coming out with, he's absolutely on my radar. I just kind of wanted to focus on one guy per team, so that's the omission there. Robbie Ashford would be fun to see in that role, and I really hope that he has a role in this Auburn offense. They're going to need to get creative. I mean, they just are. And I know that they started using the tight end a lot more last year. That was a welcome sight, a long overdue sight, but I think that we need to see more packages like that to be able to get somebody like Robbie Ashford involved. Let an opposing defense actually have to come up with different ways to kind of scheme against him if he's getting on the field and lining up on the outside as a receiver, if he's lining up in the backfield as a tailback, whatever it may be. Just have something that kind of keeps you a little bit off balance. I would love to see Robbie Ashford in that role, and he could definitely be in addition to the watch list real soon.
You also referenced Blake Hornsby, who at Arkansas is the fastest player on the team. I mean, legit track, world-class speed. However, I'm listing some of the things. You say, A, throw a pass as a quarterback. Does you also have to complete a pass? Because I have seen Malik Hornsby throw it, and while I am so impressed by his athletic ability, there's an awful lot to be desired when it comes to his accuracy. And I'm just curious, like, why just throwing it? I feel like there's a little bit of a misstatement there. It should be complete, not throw a pass as a quarterback.
Greg, that's a fair point, and I may or may not have looked back at his high school stats wherein he completed like 52% of his passes, but you're right. They call him Tyreek Hill.
I mean, he's a jet, man. He's a freak. He's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, give him the ball. I don't care, but wow. And throwing it, it's not exactly his strong suit for sure.
No, it's not. And some of the comments that I was seeing out of Arkansas spring practice about, yeah, his improvements as a thrower. Look, I hope he's continuing to work and improve that aspect of his game. I think at this point of his career, he's entering year three of college. If that aspect isn't really there yet, okay, let's not pretend that exists, but at least having the threat of throwing a pass and being able to get a secondary to respect what he could potentially do with his arm so that all of those, you know, those zone reads, it's not just eight men in the box. And then you're essentially just picking which guy you're going to tackle. I think having the ability to throw and complete a pass, I guess, it should be part of it. They're going to try and get him high percentage throws if he's put in those spots. But he's somebody that I do hope they have a fourth quarter package for him. And I floated this idea out there of taking some of that wear and tear off KJ Jefferson. They did this a little bit last year. They did it in the bowl game as well, of saying, okay, we have like an 11-point lead, and there's 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We're not throwing the ball anyways. Let's put Malik Hornsby in there to be able to try and move the chains as a runner, put him in there as a tailback with KJ Jefferson, allow him to get the ball that way. Whatever you are doing, make Malik Hornsby kind of your finisher to be able to kind of give you that variety that you need, just maybe not throwing and completing a pass.
All right, there you go. Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South, Football Player of the Year is the award that he wants to see come out now. We had JD tweeting into the show. Hines Ward was that at Georgia. He would be one of your, poster childs for this award. I mean, guy played quarterback, guy played tailback. He returned some kicks, played receiver, could block. I mean, just tough. And just football player. There are certain guys that you watch and you say, just football player, man. Could line him up anywhere you want. And like Tyler Allgeier, BYU, like football player. He's going to play running back in the NFL, but led the team in tackles, playing linebacker in multiple games over the course of his career. So it's a great read. We've tweeted that out from the Mac and Cube account. You can go check it out at SaturdayDownSouth.com. Connor, great stuff as always, man. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Connor O'Gara joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Obviously, holiday weekend coming up, which makes us think a lot about the grill. Greg, you were absent. There was a take on this show yesterday that I must get your opinion on.
Oh, boy.
We will share it with Greg and hear from him next on McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. SEC baseball tournament underway in about 40 minutes. We will talk about that next hour, get you set for it. Chris Burke going to be with us at 9:20, so he'll be on the air actually when it begins. And Alabama gets it underway. So you got Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Ole Miss, Vandy, Kentucky, Auburn. That's your SEC tournament schedule for today. SEC softball. Coming up
today's
Thursday.
Today's the big day. You just got to survive today.
Survive in advance.
Get into the double elimination.
And then just try to figure out how the bracket works after that.
Get in the double elimination. Just win today. Take care of that first. And then we got action.
That's it.
Thursday, Texas, Arkansas softball. It's in Fayetteville. Texas second in the nation with 100 doubles on the season. You also get Friday, Arizona, Mississippi State. That's in Starkville. First ever super regional for the Bulldogs. And then Florida, Virginia Tech. That's your SEC softball that you'll be getting later in the week. So it's a big week for SEC softball, baseball. Orioles take out the Yankees 6-4 last night. Judge just hit two home runs. He's got 17. Cole took his first loss of the year. Phillies took out the Braves 7-3. Braves now 19-23 on the year. Mets smashed the Giants 13-3. Pete Alonso hit his 11th home run. Yesterday, Greg, earlier in the week, I don't know if it was yesterday. There's a man in Wisconsin that has had a Big Mac every day of his life for 50 years.
Wisconsin. The Badgers.
Quickly, we asked this question yesterday. If you had to have one fast food burger. Not these gourmet burgers that are around
Why
here.
Why burger? Can't I have any fast food?
I don't know. It's just a burger because this guy's had a Big Mac for 50 years. What fast food burger would you have if you had to have one, just one, every day for the next 50 years?
Milo's. No onions, no pickles, extra sauce.
There you go.
Okay.
Oops.
Man, extra sauce. I feel like they sauce it up for you pretty good.
No.
So one more.
Still not enough.
Let me dip it.
That was where I went yesterday.
Bang sauce rips.
I hadn't tried that on a burger. Sounds good, though. So then we started talking about burgers. and what makes a good burger, what we like about burgers, because burgers are great. And our buddy Damian Mitchell, he dropped this take on me yesterday, Greg.
All right. Well, we call it a burger. It's in between two buns.
Is it in between two buns? It's a sandwich.
But I'm saying it's in between totally two. Different. What makes it a sandwich and a burger? Like, is it
Ground beef?
Just the beef.
That's a hamburger.
Okay, so it is the beef that makes it the burger. But if it's in between two buns, like, just saying, it's still in between two.
What make it?
It's in between two buns. Is it not?
So Damian Mitchell says, Greg,
this was his exact quote. Anything in between a bun is a hamburger. That's what he said.
No, anything between a bun is a sandwich.
Because in Maplesville, apparently, they have a chicken burger,
yes,
but it's a grilled chicken sandwich on a bun.
What about a turkey sandwich?
He says it's a burger.
If it's in between club
sandwich,
two buns.
Pulled pork sandwich.
Burger.
Again, if it's in between
rib sandwich,
two
McRib
buns,
burger.
I've always thought it was McRib.
He says it's a burger, though.
Is McRib back?
He says it's a burger. My interpretation, my definition of a burger was if it's in between two buns.
Grilled cheese is a burger.
Who's eating grilled cheese on a bun? Like,
a lot of people.
Milo's does their grilled cheese on a bun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the same bun that comes with the burger.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know
Trust me, I usually get one for the ride home. They're really good.
Roadie?
I got you. But like I said, my definition of a
burger. Where are you, Greg, on everything between a bun is a burger? That's according to Damian.
No. See, like, I said
this is dumbest take he's had on the show.
It's up there.
Worse than the Eli Manning take.
It's up there. Well, what I don't understand is, like, there's also people that think hot dog's a sandwich. Hot dog ain't a sandwich. Hot dog's a hot dog.
That's
burger's a burger. Sandwich is sandwich.
All right.
Cheesesteak a cheesesteak. Like, there ain't no like color in between the lines here. Like, these things are pretty well drawn out. Like, you want to throw it under one overarching umbrella. So, like, here's our umbrella policy of all things between buns, sandwiches, bread, you name it. They're called handhelds. They're a damn handheld, bro.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Hot dog's a handheld. Can I hold it with my hands without getting my hands messy? Yes. That's the answer.
All right.
It's a handheld.
Can I throw out a hot dog take?
Talk to us.
Don't say it.
You should love this. Costco.
Goat.
Severely underrated hot dog.
$1.50 for a hot dog.
Severely underrated hot dog.
They lose money on that every year. Costco does.
Really?
Yes.
Is that okay?
It's like a half pound.
It's one of the best dogs I've had.
It's up there.
It's really good.
It's up there.
My kid decided Saturday we went and he took one bite and didn't want it. And I hadn't had anything to eat yet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat the dog. And I was like, goodness gracious, this is good. It's really good. Which brings me to our Mac and Cube no context poll question.
I thought you were going
to
say hot dogs were overrated. I was about to fight you.
No. But that one's just a really good
hot dog number one food.
No, not for me. But it's
if I give a hot dog and you can either give me yellow mustard,
no,
Durkees. What do you just do? Ketchup? What do you do?
Just ketchup. That's all I need.
No, see, I'm not as big on ketchup. Like, I'll put ketchup on there with mustard.
I'm not a mustard person at all.
But if you give me mustard, Dijon mustard, spicy mustard, you name any of those three with ketchup, I'm good. No, any of the three. I'm not going to mix them. Or you can go really off the wall and go turkey sauce. You go turkey sauce on a hot dog, you're cooking. I'm telling you.
I feel like you're a Grey Poupon guy.
No. No. Dijon mustard.
Dijon mustard.
Yeah, I don't really.
What is turkey sauce?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I have no idea.
I can't really explain it. It's like tangy, but it's got like a little zing to it. Like, turkey sauce rips.
Is it kind of like Sneaky Pete's?
It's like a mayonnaise base. No,
Sneaky Pete's not mayonnaise base. Sneaky Pete's more like Milo sauce, closer to that.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
All right. So no context poll question of the day. Burger, hot dog, ribs, brisket.
Whew, ribs.
Memorial Day coming up. You go ribs.
Ribs.
Where am I? Where am I eating this?
It's no context.
It's your context.
Feel free.
I could have anything of those four, it's ribs, obviously. Of course. But that takes preparation. But if I'm in Texas, I'm eating brisket.
Okay.
And if it's 4th of July, I'm eating a hot dog. Bernie, I have burgers all the time.
Bernie, on the Bud Light Hotline, you have 30 seconds on a burger.
Yeah, hey, basically, just this weekend, we were down at the landing at the lake, and we're talking about burgers.
Is it open?
They opened up. It was delicious.
Oh, we are back. We are back.
All right. Yeah. Hey. Go, Bernie.
So listen, the burger must be hand patted. You can't come padded, pre-padded. You need to cook a burger on a flat grill. It does not need to be grilled. It needs to be fried, and that makes the best burger, and you must warm the bun.
No, so some people like the char. Some people like the char-broiled burger, like, which is fine. Like Burger King, some people like the open flame. To me, throw it on a griddle. I want it as greasy and as nasty as it gets.
Oh. All right.
Do I have a spot for you in your wife's hometown then?
Ayo. What is it, McDonald's?
No. Pins. Got to go check that out.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.